And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hey, how are you?
What are you doing here?
I'm over here now.
You're over here?
You're over here?
Yeah, I'm over here with him. Still my heart.
Whoa. We're waiting on Carmine.
Yeah, we're looking for Carmine.
He was here before. I saw him. He had a suitcase and everything, and then he left.
Carmine left?
Huh?
Carmine left.
He's gone.
He's not here.
Carmine's out.
I think, you know, maybe he went across the street or somewhere else. I don't know.
Well, listen, good luck with the joint, huh?
Oh, thanks, Eddie.
Yeah, lots of luck. Lots
hey,
of luck.
Great, Jerry. Good luck to you, too.
Hey, they forgot to sign their papers.
What?
They forgot to sign their papers.
Yeah, they don't need those anymore.
Greetings, sports fans. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Gino, joined by my co-hosts, Kevin and Darren. Today is Wednesday, March 12th. This is episode 159. Please catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram, follow us on YouTube. We're posting stuff. We're putting questions out to you guys. Send us responses. Get back to us. Join our pages. It's important. That way you see every time we post something. Tonight, we're going around the world of sports. A lot going on, a lot of player movement throughout everywhere. Then we're talking more college basketball because March Madness is upon us. Selection show is now only 4 days away. We'll be doing a special selection show next week on Sunday night. Hopefully that's up for you guys Monday. Give us a listen. We're going to go through a lot of stuff on that show. We're going to start it off with baseball. Injuries, huge part going on with the Yankees and the Mets. We were already past when we were off the air with the Mets, and Alvarez wound up is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with a broken hammock bone. I assume Luis Torrens will be the fill-in catcher at that point. And we had huge Yankee news with the news that Gerrit Cole will be out the whole year with torn UCL. Kev, why don't you start with some Mets, and we'll go to Darren for some Yankees.
Yeah, the Alvarez injury, of course, hurts. But, you know, it's nice having Torrens back there. You know, that at the very least, he's such a good, solid defensive catcher that with this lineup, if it's the 6 to 8 weeks like they're projecting, they should be okay. You know, Torrens in for Alvarez is not going to be the reason this offense doesn't click. It's not going to be the reason the Mets don't play well. It's going to be the starting rotation. We know that going in. And so far, you know, McGill's, I hate to say it because it's spring training, and I don't want to put too much into spring training, but McGill's looking pretty good. Canning's looked great so far in spring training. Holmes has been unscored upon in almost 10 innings. Even Blackburn today finally turned around 4 perfect innings, even though he got hit hard early. But he was able to turn around. You know, they need to survive with the starters until Manaea hopefully gets back more towards, you know, mid to late April. You know, throw Matas in with the other guys, you know, that's fine. We all know this team, all along we've been saying it, this team needs to outslug the opponents. And that's what it's going to be for a while. And yes, losing Alvarez hurts, but, you know, again, catching wise, you love having Torrens behind the plate. So I don't think it's a huge loss. You know, just need to make sure Alvarez takes his time, gets back fully healthy, because it's his receiving wrist. So you don't want to keep getting banged up and banged up when he's catching pitches consistently. That's a big thing.
Big thing for this team is that Lindor can't get off to the start he had last year.
Yeah,
I'm not saying Alvarez is the difference, but he can't have this tough April. Alonso can't get off sluggishly. It can't just be Soto, and then they don't have the pitching, and they don't have the bottom of the order. So it's important that Lindor is the Lindor that we saw for 90% of the year last year, or 80% of the year, and not the first 20% of the year. That's the key for this team.
No doubt about it. Yep.
All right, and let's move over, Darren.
And so the Yankees had about the worst news that the Yankees could have had. The ace. You get the only guy you rely on. And he was hurt last year, and this team still found a way to compete. And they will again. Don't get me wrong. It's not like the signing of Fried looks that much stronger right now. If that Fried Rodon is 1-2, doesn't scare you as much as if it would have been you know, Rodon and you know, Clark Schmidt. So you take it a little bit better that way. And Stroman, who you couldn't wait to get rid of, is now, you're glad he's sitting there in the
he's not your
four spot, you know. And you know, in the first half of the year, it's all good stuff. And much like Alvarez, when they talk about 6 to 8 weeks, you sit there with Heal, when you're saying somewhere closer to 12 weeks. But because it happens in March, you're looking at early June. You're not looking at, or mid-June, you're not looking at like after the All-Star break kind of stuff where you get a little bit overly concerned. But there's not a lot of pitchers out there. There's nobody that's on the market right now that you're going to be able to, even if you were able to find somebody, no one's replacing Cole. That's where some of these depth trades that they gave up on, where they gave up Vasquez and Brito and all that stuff in the move for Soto, kind of hurt you a little bit because you would have liked to had you know, that kind of depth. But I don't have any real worries that they won't find an arm here to kind of at least help them stem the tide. Once again, with the Yankees, the American League is weaker than the National League. So it's not like the Mets have to be fearful that they fall behind the Braves and the Phillies, right?
Yeah.
The Yankees, listen, the Red Sox are improved. The Blue Jays are on paper, always look good. The Orioles were supposed to be the best team in the American League last year. It just didn't happen. All these things can happen. But based on recent history, the Blue Jays haven't shown it at all. The Orioles regressed. And the Red Sox have to win before you take them completely seriously. And Tampa Bay had the worst year we've seen Tampa have in a long time. So on paper, the Yankees should be able to hang in there until they get healed back. And that's kind of really what the key is. The other key is if Dominguez can catch a fly ball, because right now it doesn't look like he knows how to do it. And I'd like to go out and help him at 53. I think I can, you know, take a step back on the ball first, you know, give yourself a chance. I don't understand how these guys are professional baseball players and can't catch their routine fly balls. Soto can't either, but at least you know he's going to hit 340. You know, the Dominguez, come on, man. Catch some fly balls. Jake?
Do you expect anything out of Warren?
I think that Warren will be serviceable, but the depth of the bullpen is really nice. I mean, listen, bullpens suck because a guy that pitches great last year, that's why Mariano was Mariano. Because a guy can pitch great for a year. You think you got him. You lack him up for 3 years, and he sucks. On paper, the Yankee bullpen should be fantastic. There are no Adam Ottavinos that are throwing sweepers out of the freaking thing like he did for both the Yankees and the Mets. It's a bunch of hard-throwing guys that you're hoping can kind of keep it together. So really with Warren, you're hoping to get four. And I can't believe I'm saying that about starting pitching because I hate when I say that about starting pitching. But that's what you're hoping to get. You're hoping to get four out of Warren. You're hoping to get five out of Stroman. And the other guys, you need to be a little bit more bullish. And you're going to need Rodon to give you six and change to seven. And you're going to need Freed to do the same.
Okay, so here's my question to you. Let's assume Heal has some setback and doesn't come back until after the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting into July. Heal is still a question mark. If you're good or if you're bad, which one of those makes you make a trade for whoever, for Dylan Cease?
Listen, I to be honest with you, I think that even if Heal is fine, if your goal is to win the American League East, fantastic. But your goal is not. You went to the World Series and lost last year. You're looking to make that trade regardless because you're not replacing Cole with anything else.
I agree.
I don't care how far over his head Clark Schmidt pitches and how and that Heal comes back early and is amazing. You're still not going to win a series against the Dodgers. You probably can't win a series against the Phillies. And on paper, offensively, you'll struggle to win a series against the Mets if you go with that staff.
I agree. I'm going to agree with you. I think that's it. If your goal at some point as we get into July is to win the whole damn thing, they're going to have to make a trade for a starter at some point. Unless you're telling me Warren lights the world on fire and Heal comes back in mid-June and is pitching great as we get into mid-July, then that's it. You know what I mean? So, all right. I got one other
quick last point, though, on the Yankees.
Yeah.
So as they cry poverty every chance they get, So the stat came out that they made a record $411 million simply off ticket sales in 2024. The team is worth $6 billion. Stop with the crying. Stop with the luxury tax fear. Stop with the top level, the Cohen level. You made $411 million simply on ticket sales.
This is why Cashman sucks.
This is why Hal is not his father and never will be, because they refuse to not make this a profit center for them, which is a joke. They're going to make that profit center just on yes, let alone everything else that they're doing. Sorry.
$411 million basically covers the salaries and and everything else that goes into the luxury tax. I mean, that basically covers it.
It does cover it. I think it covers the whole damn thing.
Yep. I got one other baseball point. It came out this week that Mo Vaughn admitted to using HGH.
At the end of his career, where he sucked anyway, so I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, certainly didn't help him when you watch him with the Mets.
And I was all gung-ho when they made that deal for him. I really was.
I thought it was interesting that had to come out now. I don't know why, but anyway.
Bobby Witt got taken out today, by the way, of his game, so hopefully nothing happens to Bobby Witt.
Well, he got hit in the hand by a pitch, and they're doing x-rays.
Yeah, but they haven't come back with the x-rays. That's scary. Yeah, you don't want to see that. Woodruff may start the season in Milwaukee. They originally said he wasn't, so that's pretty cool. Gunnar Henderson is trending to start the season in Baltimore, not on the DL, so that's pretty good. And Luis Renjifo, not that he's in the same class, but as a fantasy guy, he's someone you look at. Looks like he's going to start the season in Anaheim. I'm sorry I mentioned Renjifo with Gunnar Henderson. It doesn't make any sense. But as a fantasy guy, these are the things that you notice when you don't have more than four picks in the first 12 rounds. Anyway, that's a story for another day.
Dev, Darren mentioned Witt, Henderson, and Renjifo.
I only want to go with the upper level first three middle infielders. I'm sorry. Only the elite middle infielders get mentioned in my conversations.
All right. We'll move over to the NHL. So trade deadline happened late last week when we were off. Kev, you got your wish. The Islanders did send somebody out.
Just wasn't the guy he wanted.
So they
wasn't.
So the Islanders traded Brock Nelson, William DeFore to Colorado for Clayton, for Richie, and a couple of picks. Kev?
Everything you read about the trade with Richie coming in, you know, looks like his prospect level looks like he's going to be a good two-way forward in the NHL. Had to do it. And then they get the first round pick. And if Colorado wins the Stanley Cup, they get a third round or two. So guess what? Now I've got something to root for in the Western Conference. I will be rooting for the Colorado Avalanche here. That being said, you know, as a fan, I hate to see Brock Nelson go. As a realist, as a pragmatist, you had to do it. And this is the type of return you had to get for Brock Nelson. I mean, Lou did what he had to. It's the other guys. Why the hell is Palmieri and Lee and Pagiot still on this team? With the moves that were being made throughout the league, how are these guys still on the damn team? And nothing. I like these guys, but there's no reason they should be on this Islander team now.
My normal response before last week's deadline day would have been they can't find any trade partners. But based on the number of trades that happened, I couldn't imagine they could not find any trade partners.
Kev, quick question for you: the tenure of Oliver Shillington. Were you good with it? I mean, for his like 4 hours on the squad, was that something that you were pretty excited about?
I'll look back on it very fondly.
I always love it when a guy gets traded. It gets traded the same day. Luke Shen at least was on Nashville for a day before he got dealt.
This was a couple of hours,
and he's a little bit better than Oliver Shillington, by the way. But nonetheless,
when he comes back, you know, we can give him the video tribute when he comes back and plays at the UBS Arena.
Now, as a Flames fan, I know Oliver Shillington relatively well. You know, listen, he's inconsistent, but he's not bad. But I was like, oh, the Islanders got a serviceable defenseman back, and all of a sudden they dumped him right away. And I was just like, it's kind of par for the course. But I think Lou did what he had to do. The Islanders are looking forward to 25-26.
Yeah, but should have been more.
No, I agree with you. I mean, it wasn't nearly enough. The only guy to me that was untouchable in the forward position was Horvat. Yeah. He's a young enough guy. You made the move. You want to kind of build around them. Everybody else could have gone. And the defenseman, a couple of the young guys. But Pellick could have been gone, even though he's a good player. He would have helped somebody. Somebody would have wanted him to kill a power play. I mean, he would have been a top four defenseman on almost any team in the NHL. So, actually, on every team in the NHL, I should say.
Okay. Rangers traded Riley Smith to Las Vegas.
That's not even worked out well.
That was their big move. Devils.
They got Susie as well from Vancouver for third. I mean, listen, it, another defenseman doesn't hurt this team. Fox was banged up. You know, they do need to have that. But the team is fledgling right now. They're just struggling.
Yeah.
Devils made a couple of deals, brought in a couple of defensemen. Brought in Dennis Cholowski.
Yep.
For Adam Beckman. And they also brought in Brian Dumoulin from Anaheim.
Yep, and they got McLaughlin from Boston as well. Yep. So he's a center. I mean, he's going to replace Jack Hughes. I'm joking. But you know what? He's going to be someone that can play two ways a little bit. The fact that the Devils are hanging in there without Markstrom and Hughes is kind of interesting. I know Hughes has been relatively recent, but they're still battling. So hopefully the Devils find a way to hold on for the playoff spot.
The two biggest trades of the day was the Panthers wound up getting Brad Marchand from Boston. And Mikko and Dallas got Mikko Rantanen from Carolina.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting that Carolina gives up on as a team that's really fighting for not just a playoff spot, but to be a cup champion, to give up on Rantanen. I was a little surprised by it. Yeah. I also thought Tampa getting Yanni Gourde was a kind of a good move, bringing him back. And the Caps getting former Islander great Anthony Beauvillier, however you pronounce it.
Yeah.
And Winnipeg getting Shen. So there's a couple of moves. Toronto got Lawton. Again, it wasn't like there was a lot of smaller trades for draft picks of, you know, marginal guys that might help a little bit here and there. But those are the big ones, G. You're right.
Yeah.
And Oliver Shillington.
And Ovechkin, 11 goals away still at this point.
I thought it was nine or 11?
Nine.
But he had three assists the other night, so he was trying to close the gap on Gretzky's assists. He's only about 1,000 behind there.
That's pretty far away.
Yeah, it's not going to quite happen.
He needs to play another 40 years to catch Gretzky
in that way. It's great. Listen, he's still doing amazing things. It's just no one's Gretzky.
Yep. Any other NHL news before we move on, guys?
Not just Winnipeg and Washington continue to roll. I mean, my God, those two teams are in the 90s already. We have less than 20 games left in the season for everybody. Islanders have 19. I think the Rangers have 17. Devils have 16, something like that. So, Islanders have 17, 16. So, we're down to the home stretch here. So, we're going to see over the next couple of weeks who's for real in the playoffs and who's going to be fighting for two-point games all over the place.
Okay.
And when we get to playoff hockey, when it really gets fun to watch.
It does. It the playoff series in hockey is just something that's unbelievably exciting.
Okay, let's move over to the NBA real quick. So Knicks got some bad news. Brunson, he's out at least 2 weeks with an ankle sprain. We saw LeBron go down what is supposed to be 1 to 2 weeks with a groin. Any comments, guys?
Well, Bridges came out today and made a nice comment saying that he thinks the starter should have to play less minutes. So we're going to find out if Thibodeau is going to sit there and bench him, or if he's going to because Thibodeau is kind of like that guy that's a little spiteful. So we're going to find out if he doesn't like it when somebody talks about it. Sit your skinny ass on the bench. We're going to play. We're going to play Lamet. You know, I mean, who knows? But it was interesting that he came out and said it to me.
Oh my goodness, we've been asking them to play less minutes all year.
I know, but he can't bench us. We've already been benched since like been asking him high.
Kev, since last year, we've been asking him. Yeah. Okay.
You know, I mean, with the Knicks, without Brunson, okay, fine. Let's you know, when you look at the East, they're locked into the third spot right now.
And they're going to win 52-plus games. I mean, it's not like they're going to have a bad year. This is a team that has a good shot of getting to 55 even.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Cleveland. They're on their second 15-game winning streak of the season already.
Yeah, 55-10.
Incredible. Eight games in front of Boston. Another 5.5 back to the Knicks, and they're 5 in front. Milwaukee, Indianapolis, and Detroit are 4, 5, and 6. And then 7-10 are pretty much settled, too. It's just a matter of which order the 7-10 are in.
And yeah, really not much Chicago are playing the best right now.
Honestly, I mean, the best thing about the Brunson injury, and there's not a lot, but the best thing is it happened now. It happened now. This is timing.
Make sure he's healthy before he comes back. Don't rush him back.
You don't need to.
We need
and
him.
McBride can handle the load for a couple of weeks without a problem.
Yep. Agreed.
If he needs 2 weeks, give him 3.
Darren, you had a comment about LeBron.
Yeah, so LeBron gets hurt, then he attacks Stephen A. courtside because Stephen A. made some comments about Bronny, and you know it's not like listen, any comment that's made toward Bronny is not really toward Bronny. It's toward the fact that LeBron has forced Bronny onto us. Nobody expects anything out of the 55th pick of the draft, especially not a guy that's making $8 million as the 55th pick of the draft, especially as a guy that didn't have the skill set in college to start a game. And all of a sudden, you know, he gets sensitive because you're talking about my son. LeBron James, listen, from everything you see, good family man. You know, you never hear about him with scandals with women or kids out of wedlock, all this stuff, unless he's paying it all off. But I'm going to say that he's not doing anything. I'm going to say that he is above board. But my God, he thinks he's above the game.
He does.
And I've never seen a player this dramatic about how far above the game he really thinks he was. You never felt that way about Bird. You never felt that way about Magic. You never felt that way about Kareem. You never felt that way about Jordan. You never felt that way about Kobe. LeBron wants you to know that he is bigger than the game, and it is frustrating to watch. This is why this era of the NBA is my least favorite era of all time, because the stars are not likable players, and LeBron does not come off as someone that you think cares about the sport. LeBron comes out as a guy that cares about himself, and maybe because the Knicks were horrible for most of the stretch. Maybe there's a million reasons why the NBA lost interest to me to a certain extent. But to attack a reporter for saying things that were really true on the sideline, you know, you got a problem with it. Call the guy up. Say, I want to meet with you.
Oh, my goodness. You know, everybody has Stephen A's number. I mean, come on.
Come on. I mean, listen, it's just the guy's doing his job, so you got to attack him on the court side? Come on, you're acting like an idiot. And I just thought that that was a really bad look for LeBron. And what I've come to learn is LeBron doesn't care if he has a bad look because he's had a million of them. Yeah. And he still kind of keeps going forward as if he's bigger than the game. And that's why I used to like the Lakers better than the Celtics. If they met this year, I'd root for the Celtics. I can't believe I'm saying that out loud.
Wow.
That's how bad it is.
I
can't root for the guy. I just can't do it.
The temper tantrums he throws when calls don't go his way. I mean, my goodness, the guy
are horrible.
When they played the Celtics the other night, the one that JT grazed him at worst, and
he didn't graze him at all.
I was giving LeBron even that much of him.
He missed him. It was like the James Caan punch in Godfather 1. He missed him by a good foot, G. I mean, it wasn't even that close. I mean, I know that the show has so much going on, and talk about the NBA too much is annoying, but I just was so turned off by his behavior. And again, I'm not a Stephen A fan. I could care less about Stephen A. Smith. He's just a loudmouth guy. But at the same time, the way he did it was just completely poor.
Yep.
Kev, you had any other NBA points? Jokic?
Nikola Jokic.
Oof.
First ever 30-20-20 triple-double.
31 points, 22 assists, 21 rebounds. Just unbelievable stuff.
They even brought it back to 30, 20, and 15 games. I rest out here. Jokic has hit that level twice in the last 50 days. Everyone else over the last 15,000 days, zero. He's put up that line twice. He's on pace right now to be the first NBA player to ever be top three in points and rebounds and assists in a single season.
Unbelievable.
I mean, the guy's just putting up numbers that, you know, the MVP vote's over.
I don't even think it's close.
I mean, it's great of a year that, you know, some of the Shai Gilgeous Alexander's having. But nobody's touching Jokic.
Agreed.
I wouldn't be so sure that Shai doesn't get a lot of votes, but I agree with you. I think it should be Jokic.
And out west, you know, OKC leads by 11, so that's why, you know, if you're looking for somebody else besides Jokic, that's why Shai would get the votes, because OKC is clearly the best team out west.
Yeah, but they're only 53-12. They're not 55-10. I mean, I'm just kidding. These two teams are amazing.
I know.
My God, it is freaking nuts to watch these two teams. They don't lose. They really just don't lose.
Yeah.
All right.
And the biggest disappointment, easy for me to say, has been Phoenix. They're 2.5 out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
With Durant,
and Dallas is doing everything they can to lose, and they still can't. They still can't catch him.
Dallas saying, "Here's the 10th seed. Take it. Have the play-in game."
Everybody's hurt,
and Phoenix is still saying, "Nah, we don't want it."
All right, let's move over to the NFL. So the free agency signing period started. We're gonna do the local teams. We'll do some of the bigger ones, but we're not gonna go deep into every team because otherwise we'll be here for 5 hours. So we'll start it with your Jets. Kev, why don't you start us off? Tell us what they've done.
Well, the big move, of course, is Justin Fields in at quarterback. I like the move. I like the move. He's a mobile guy. He's still only 26. And when you look at what was out there on the market, he was probably the guy that fits best in this team right now. He's a stopgap guy. So 2 years, $40 million, $30 million guaranteed.
Correct.
It's fine. It's a nice contract. You're not overpaying for him, I don't think. At 26, maybe he's got to follow what these other quarterbacks that left the Jets do. I'm looking at Geno Smith and Sam Darnold. They'll all of a sudden have some sort of renaissance on their third team. But there's nobody in the draft that is going to be there at number 7. I don't want to trade up for Ward or Sanders. I want them to day 2 or day 3 when one of those quarterbacks starts to look good in the third or fourth round. I want them to draft a young guy. I want to see what Travis does in training camp, assuming he's healthy. You've got Tyrod Taylor, whose at least playing style is similar to Fields, so that's going to be a help to Fields. I mean, it's fine. This is a rebuilding year. We know it. You know, they've designated Rodgers as the post-June the release. So it's, what, $14 million this year against the cap and $35 million next year against the cap?
I would have done it all this year. I didn't like what they did.
I would have done it this year. Get it over with. Bite the bullet. This is not going to be a good year, I don't think. You know, maybe they'll surprise. But I don't expect a lot from the Jets this year. And like I said, Fields is fine.
We have never had a running quarterback.
No.
Ever. I mean, this is the closest that we've never had someone that on 4th and 1, I felt confident with them taking the ball and running with it. And it's not the end-all, be-all, but for watching other teams do it to us as much as they have, it's nice to have someone that can sit there and get that first down for you. It's nice that someone, when a play breaks down, to use their legs. He wasn't so accurate in Pittsburgh. He wasn't great with his accuracy in Chicago, but he's improved a little bit every year.
Yeah.
Listen, if the Jets go 7-10, it'll be kind of where I expect them to be.
I think so.
If they go 8-9, it's a plus. I mean, you know, this is not a playoff team. You want to see some meaningful games in November if you can do it. They let go. So Rodgers is official. He's been going to be released. Mosley's officially released. They signed Andre Sisco and Brandon Stevens to shore up the defensive backfield. They've lost DJ Reed. They lost Ashton Davis. They lost Brandon Echols. They also added two new linemen again. So they added Josh Myers, who's a center out of Green Bay. They added Chukwuma Okorafor, or however you pronounce it. He was the tackle at Pittsburgh. He played in New England last year. So they're trying to shore it up a little bit. They re-signed Jamie and Sherwood. They re-signed Isaiah Oliver. Overall, the Jets, you know, listen, they shored up the secondary. They kept Sherwood, which they had to do.
Yep.
Fields was probably the most exciting option out there at quarterback. Yeah. As a fan that we've tried to watch this team for years, he's probably the best running quarterback we've had since Ray Lucas. Now we're talking about 1998.
Yes.
Listen, occasionally Zach could show signs of running, but he was so confused back there with everything that was going on that he had the ability to run. He just didn't know when he shouldn't. And I'm not trying to even insult Zach, who somehow got $6 million to go to the Dolphins, by the way.
Yeah.
And Daniel Jones got $14 million to go to Indy. So the $20 million doesn't crush me with Fields either. But we haven't had a quarterback that can truly run since Lucas. And it's kind of going to be interesting to see what happens with this. Overall, though, I can't get too upset about what happened. The Morgan Moses loss is probably the biggest loss out there for this team right now, except for DJ Reed, who had said earlier during the season he was planning on.
He wasn't coming back. He was going that there. He was going to take the biggest deal he could. Mm-hmm. The guys they brought in the secondary, you know, you hear some of the negatives about them, but I'm willing to trust Aaron Glenn's judgment, assuming he had plenty of input with Muji on this, because, you know, we all know what Aaron Glenn was as a cornerback.
He was a one. He was a CB1 for us, and
an undersized CB1.
Listen, he was an upper half cornerback of the CB1s at the time. He was not an all pro. He made the all pro a couple of times, but he was not pro bowl, but he was not an all pro, but he was a top 12, top 15, top 20 cornerback in his good years. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right. Giants.
Okay. Garrett? So the Giants bring in Javon Holland, which is probably the biggest move that they made. It helps the Jets, actually, because they get him away from the Dolphins. He's a good player. Paulson Adebo is the cornerback with the upside. He had 3 picks in 7 games last year. So we'll see what happens there. Chancey Golston, they bring in a defensive end that can rush the passer. They brought in a linebacker, Chris Board. They brought in a defensive tackle, Roy Robertson-Harris. They brought back Slayton. They brought back DeVito. They don't have a quarterback.
Okay, no, they do. They have DeVito.
It comes down to Rodgers, Wilson, and Jameis Winston. And where do you want to go? Even if you draft Ward or you draft Sanders, I think Ward is the higher one on their board. Even if you do, you need to get a veteran. They haven't even re-signed Drew Locke, who nobody has signed. So that's the question. So who do you think they should go for, guys? Because out of those three, who's the guy you want?
Jameis.
Just to make the games exciting on Sunday, make the Giants fun to watch.
Make the Giants finally fun to watch.
Both ways all over the place. Giants haven't had a guy that throws for 30 touchdowns in forever. Jameis would be one of the first guys in forever to throw for 30. Anyway, thoughts on who they should go with?
A rookie.
Well, they're going to go with a rookie, but they got to sign one of the veterans. Well, you got to sign someone to be
not.
With.
Maybe not. Maybe it's DeVito.
DeVito's the veteran? I don't see that. You got to bring someone that's played. Someone that can learn. It could be Kirk Cousins. It could be a bunch of different guys when Atlanta releases him.
So I think it is an insignificant quarterback. How's that?
Okay.
I don't think it's any of those names.
I think Rodgers is the best one, and I think Wilson's the guy they get. Okay. I would sign Jameis as well, by the way.
I don't think it's Rodgers because Rodgers, you're going to have to start him, I think.
Well, Rodgers is going to start. Listen, any of these quarterbacks they draft is not a starter. This draft does not have a starter in it, in my opinion.
Okay.
My opinion. I'm as big a scout as you are, Gino. My opinion is about the same as yours. Doesn't really matter.
I think if they trade up to the number one and draft somebody, I think that person needs to start week one.
I don't. I would sit there and see if he's got anything first. This is not a good crop of quarterbacks, in my opinion. But we'll see. Okay. Sheena, why don't you tell us a little bit about Washington? Oh, I'm sorry, Kev. You're about to say something. My bad.
No, when you compare him to last year, when you read what scouts say, you know, they're about the 6th or 7th best quarterbacks if he went last year.
That's what I saw. They'd be down at the
J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix type of level.
Washington.
Yeah, talk about Washington, G.
So last week we talked about them trading and bringing in Deebo Samuel. This week they made another trade. A slew of picks, a third this year, and a 2 and a 4 next year for Laremy Tunsil. They bring in a big offensive line guy. I like it a lot. And then they went out and they signed 4 defensive guys, Eddie Goldman, Javon Kinlaw, Jonathan Jones, Will Harris, all solid guys. I don't think anybody is outstanding, but all solid guys. To me, the biggest thing they did was they re-signed Bobby Wagner, who with this defense last year was one of the core guys that brought everybody together. I love them bringing Wagner back to put with all these guys. I love Tunsil for the offensive line. I know, Darren, he committed a ton of penalties last year.
He got penalized a lot.
Hopefully they get that under control. So.
The one thing I'll say is I'm very happy that you got Javon Kinlaw and I don't have to watch him every week.
I know.
Because he would disappear for freaking days during a game. He'd make a good play and then he'd make 3 runs up the middle where he was nowhere to be found. Perhaps better coaching will allow Javon Kinlaw to be the Javon Kinlaw he should be.
I mean, overall, I like between Deebo and Tunsil as the start. It's tough to not like what they've done so far with this team. So,
I agree with you, pal. I agree with you.
All right, let's go around the rest of the NFL. I'll go through some of these players. You guys can jump in if you have a comment. I'll go to Seattle first. So They traded Geno Smith to the Raiders. They traded DK Metcalf to the Steelers, and they signed Sam Darnold.
Listen, I mean, listen, they decided to go with the younger quarterback for the short term, for the long term, I guess, and that kind of makes sense. They also brought in DeMarcus Lawrence tonight, too. So they just did make a move for a defensive lineman, one of the top ones in the free agency period. But, yeah, I think – listen, Darnold – The last taste in your mouth of Darnold is a little sour. He held on to the ball too long, got sacked an awful lot, did not play great in the playoff game, but he had a fantastic season.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't just a playoff game. It was that
the last game of the season, too.
Yep. That, too, that he didn't – it looked more like the Darnold we saw with the Jets.
Just afraid. Just scared for his life.
Well, but, you know, 3 years, $100 million, good for him.
Absolutely. He got paid.
Rams signed Davante Adams to a deal. Tampa Bay signed Hassan Reddick. I did those back-to-back for a reason.
Thank you, Tampa.
Jets waved goodbye to both of them.
You know, and they had to do it with Adams because of the contract, and Reddick was the biggest waste that I think we've ever had.
They
also released Cooper Kupp today, by the way. So he was let go.
I was getting to that.
Sorry.
All right. Cleveland re-signed Myles Garrett, and the Bills re-signed Josh Allen to a huge six-year extension worth $330 million. Buffalo also brought in Joey Bosa, a one-year deal for $12.5 million. And the only other guy I actually wrote down was Evan Ingram signed with Denver today.
I thought New England, by the way, had a really good week. Okay, they got Milton Williams, who's probably the highest ranked free agent on the board. Brought in Harold Landry, who rushes the quarterback real well. Took Morgan Moses from the Jets, and then they went back out and got Carlton Davis as a solid cornerback. He was coming off a bad year, so we'll see. Pittsburgh got Metcalf, like you said, Malik Harrison, Gainwell, and they signed Darius Slay tonight. So that's interesting. They brought in Brandon Echols as well, so they're changing their cornerbacks around. Houston got CJ Gardner Johnson in the trade with Philly. So that was interesting. Jacksonville got Jahmy Brown, who was a guy that you liked last year. The Colts got a Charvarius Ward, who's probably one of the top cornerbacks out there. Denver decided to go into San Francisco and raid them. They took Dre Greenlaw and Talamba Hufanga. So they did that, and the Chiefs did the same thing. They took Jalen Moore and Elijah Mitchell. So the 49ers lost a lot of players. A
lot of players.
Going Bosa. You throw in everybody else that got tossed out of there. A lot of players. Vegas, like you said, got Geno Smith. Philly really picked up A.J. Dillon. I thought that was an interesting one. Haven't heard his name in a couple of years. So we'll see what happens there. Chicago went out and got offensive linemen. So they traded for Tooney. We talked about that. Then they picked up Drew Dahlman this week. And Jonah Jackson they traded for. So they're replacing three of the starting linemen. Detroit got D.J. Reed from the Jets. Minnesota went and got Ryan Kelly and Will Freeze, two good offensive linemen. And then they also went out and got Jonathan Allen from your team and Javon Hargrave, who was a beast a couple of years ago for the Eagles. He played for the 49ers as well. So a lot of big moves. And probably the biggest one out west was Josh Sweat goes from Philly to Arizona. So a lot of big moves were made in the NFL this week. And free agent period is so crazy in this sport.
Cooper Kupp, as you mentioned, still out there, became a free agent. The other two free agents, which we were waiting to sign, one we already mentioned, which was Aaron Rodgers, and the other one is Russell Wilson. Steelers, Giants, Browns are the three teams that have been mentioned as they're going through all these machinations right now. Any comments on anybody else in the NFL, guys?
I was surprised Jimmy Garoppolo signed so quickly to go back to the Rams. I figured he would keep his name out there for a starting spot somewhere. Not that I would have wanted him. Thank God. But just because he's a turnover waiting to happen, too, on a bad team. On a good team, he's serviceable. But as a Jet fan, we don't have a good team. So Carson Wentz also out there.
You know, the Pittsburgh's going to need a quarterback, like you mentioned. And
I think it's going to be Rodgers, man.
So do I.
Be somebody who can deal with having both Pickens and Metcalf on the same team.
Oh, God, it's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah,
imagine those two. And the Colts. You know, Anthony Richardson may not be the answer, so you're going to bring in Daniel Jones as the answer?
My God.
God, what's the question?
I Darren, I actually do agree with you. I think Rodgers is going to Pittsburgh. I think Russell Wilson's going to wind up with the Browns somehow, but that's where I kind of had him landing with Pittsburgh, as you said. So,
yeah, I just think that seems like it's a natural kind of move for them. Once again, and also Najee Harris, I skipped him. He went to the Chargers.
Yep.
Again, so it's just one of those moves where you get a coach like Harbaugh and you have a bullish running back like Najee Harris who never hurt, never became the running back that they thought he was going to be coming out of Bama, but he never really hurt. So, you know, he could get the ball 40 times in a game with Harbaugh. You never know.
All right. Darren, a couple of horse racing points.
Real quick. Okay. Somehow, some way, if you listened to me last week, I gave you the Tampa Bay Derby exacta cold. Ended up not being the odds on the two went down dramatically. But nonetheless, Kevin can attest to this. We bet on enough horses over the horse race over the years where you sit there and you try to visualize the race. Who's the early speed? Who's the closer? Who's running? Last week I said Owen Almighty might be the only speed in this race. And when the half was at 48, I felt really, really good. And he was able to hold off Chancer McPatrick. Nice Irish horse for you, Kev. They ended up 1-2. There was the top two choices in inverse order, as our friend Harvey Pack would say.
Yes.
And I knew I was home free. So, again, I've been pretty good. You know, I'll blow it at the Derby, but I've been pretty good right now. This week, there's only one major prep race. It's the Virginia Derby, which is kind of new because it used to be a turf race. Then they went to synthetic, and now they moved to the dirt at Colonial Downs, which is the biggest race of the year at Colonial Downs, if you know anything about the track there. It's a place of $5,000 claimers. 10-horse field, even though I only think 9 will run, because I think the favorite, John Hancock, will not run in this one. I think he'll opt out, go to the Louisiana Derby next week. This is not a good field. I like the 7 Rapture with Pratt and Cox on top over the 8 Authentic Gallop. I just think he'll close. That's Castellano and Amos. And then he's a dead closer. And I think the 6 Getaway Car with Erod Ortiz and Baffert are the 3 horses to watch in this one. So I'd put the 7 on top of the 6-8. Let's see if I keep this little streak going. I've been pretty good. But as soon as I noticed that I'm pretty good, that's when things start falling apart. So we'll see what happens at the Virginia Derby. Again, it's worth 50 points, though. So the winner will have a real good shot. Obviously, a great shot of getting into the Derby.
Okay.
That's it for the horse racing.
All right. We will move over to college basketball. We are 4 days away from Selection Sunday. We've been doing this a couple of weeks, so we'll go through it again the same kind of way. I got one note for you guys. So today was announced that Rick Pitino was named Big East Coach of the Year. RJ Lewis was named Big East Player. He was named Big East Player of the Year. So little accolades to St. John's. I got the Redstorm logo behind me right now. So
before you go conference by conference, what do you guys have left on the bubble as far as –
Let's talk about a couple games today, right? I mean, so West Virginia, in or out, guys? You lose to the 16 seed.
God,
I took them out.
I did it this afternoon before these games went final, and I had West Virginia in. Jeez.
I took them out. Gino, are they still in for you?
At the moment, yes, they're still in.
Okay. Now – Ohio State falls to 17-15 with the loss to Iowa tonight. The Kev's big brother, Fran McCaffrey. If you looked at the two of them together, you know what I'm talking about.
He needs to grow the goatee.
He's also a little taller, a little thinner, and he's got a better jump shot. Anyway, not that you have a bad one, Kev. Just as
everybody's got a better jump shot than me. Come on.
So Ohio State out for all three of us. That fair?
I can't put in a team with 17-15.
I can't either.
Out.
15-17 is a different story. We'll get to that, but 15-17, no.
Texas.
After losing to.
They didn't lose. They beat Vandy today. They beat them pretty convincingly.
Oh, that's right. They played today. I had them out after losing to Oklahoma.
Do they need to win another round for you, or did Vandy win enough?
They're going to have 15 losses.
Yep, I agree.
And I'm going to, if I'm not going to put in Ohio State with 15, I'm not going to put Texas in with 15.
Gino?
I have no idea what I'm doing with the SEC, so I have no freaking clue. Can we go back to doing this one by one? Because there are too many machinations. Sure.
Okay, that's fine. That's ACC. Fine. Let's start with the ACC. Is the winner of North Carolina Wake have a shot of getting in? The other three are locks. We know that.
I have North Carolina still in. Last week I had five in. I took SMU out.
Yeah, they lost to Florida State.
Take a close look. Loses to Florida State and no quad one wins at all. Nah, I can't put them in. I've got North Carolina in.
If Wake beats North Carolina,
they might be out. Depending on what else happens. Wake would have to make a run to the finals to me to have a chance.
Okay.
They just
fell too far back.
So I agree with that. I think if North Carolina wins, I think they're in. I think if they lose, they may be out, but I think the only way Wake has to make a big run to get in here.
Well, they're not going to beat Duke. So this is their one game they're going to win. They're not going to get past Duke. Okay. So three bid for you guys. I have UNC still in.
No, four for us.
I mean, four for us. You have North Carolina in too, Gino? I didn't realize that. My bad. Yep. Okay. So we know that the American East is a one bid. American Athletic, Memphis loses somewhere. They're still going to get into you guys?
Yes.
I think so, too.
They'll replace one of these other teams here, yep.
A-10, VCU loses. They get in?
No.
Are they losing in the final to Dayton?
Yep, losing in the final to Dayton or North Texas.
No.
Yeah.
I say yes. Okay.
One big league.
Okay. A-Sun, Lipscomb, the Bison will be alone, so that's fine. Big 12, Houston, Texas Tech, BYU, Zona, Iowa State, Kansas, and Baylor's win tonight, I think, secures them. Okay, so that's seven. West Virginia.
I had West Virginia in until today.
I have West Virginia in.
Okay, I have him out.
I'm going to keep him in for now.
Big East. Yes.
Darren, wait. So you only have seven. 12 teams?
Yep.
Okay.
Big East, St. John's, Creighton, UConn, and Marquette in. Xavier, if they lose to Marquette, in or out?
I put them in. I've got them in.
Okay.
They've been playing too well. You wish they were a little bit better than 2-8 in the quad one, but they had the win against Creighton a couple weeks ago. And winners of seven in a row. I think the Big East is gonna get the fifth team in there with Xavier right now.
I have them out. I think if they win that next game, they probably are close to being in, but I have them out right now.
I have them in, okay. Big Sky's a one bid league, and by the way, I don't know who's running the Big Sky. I don't even know who's running the Southland. You can't have a title game at 5, and you can't have a title game at 11:30 on a freaking Wednesday. Who the hell is watching this freaking title game at 11:30 tonight? and a game I would probably watch if it started at 9:30, 10 o'clock between Montana and North Colorado. Yep. The Bears and the Grizzlies. Come on. But no, we can't watch it now because they screwed the East Coast. And 5 o'clock, people are still working. You don't start the McNeese-Lamar game then. Sorry, rant over. One bid league. Big South, High Point gets in. Congrats to High Point. Great game, actually.
It was a good game.
And their first time in the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said, Kev. Big Ten, Michigan State, Maryland, Michigan, Wisconsin, UCLA, Purdue, Oregon, Illinois. Does Indiana have to beat Oregon to get in?
No, I have them in.
I agree with Kev. No, I have them in.
If Indiana loses this game by 10, they're still in.
Yes.
I have them in, too. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Big West, UC San Diego, they don't win the conference tournament. They get to the final and lose to Irvine. Net in the 30s. I'm putting them in.
How many of these one-bid conferences are you getting two teams in?
Well, no. Listen, I'm just saying that these are bid-stealing conferences. That's all I'm saying. They would take something away from Boise State, from Xavier, from Indiana, from North Carolina.
I get it, but you can't have Dayton and VCU and UC San Diego
and
you can't have all these.
I don't think they're all going to happen.
But if one or two of them happen,
I know you say no. You never like the mid majors. Me and Keva, we wax poetic on the mixed major, mid majors, I should say.
That is so not true. Go ahead.
I hate the mid majors. Well,
it's the mid majors and SEC. Come on.
So, how about you, Kev? San Diego, yay and nay.
Let me put it this way: they're behind VCU. If it comes down to VCU or San Diego, VCU, I give the edge to.
Better win goes to San Diego. They did beat Utah State.
Yeah. But I'm still just VCU in the head. But if VCU is the order bid from the Atlantic 10 and San Diego loses in the finals, especially to Irvine, I've got San Diego probably in, and they'll knock out one of these other big schools.
And we'll be scrambling on Sunday trying to figure out who's in.
Yep.
The Colonial, UNCW, you know, great win, great tournament. Five games in 5 days for Inglesby's Delaware Blue Hens. Just came up a little short. Couldn't hit the three down the stretch, but got to be honest, really impressed with what Delaware did from the 12 spot.
Darren, you're showing your age. It's the Coastal, not the Colonial.
Oh, I'm sorry. 2 years ago. My bad.
I had to.
I haven't seen this type of UNCW Seahawk team since Brent Blizzard. Anyway, now I'm really throwing names at you.
It's been the Coastal for what, about 5 years?
Is it five? I thought it was like two.
And I only found out about it last year when it was like, wait, where's the Colonial?
I think they did it when Stony Brook and those guys moved in. I think it's only a couple of years, but you might be right. The Ivy. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped one. I'm sorry. The Conference USA. Liberty is probably the team, but it's a one-bid league, correct?
Yep. Yep.
Yes.
Okay. The MAC. Akron is a one-bid league?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you skip?
Horizon. I'm going back to it. Yeah, yep. The Horizon. Robert Morris is the team that gets that advances through. Another good tournament, actually. A lot of close games. Really exciting tournament. The Ivy is Yale, right? Or whoever wins it. One bid league, though, right? Yeah. Yale's not going to get in at large.
Yes.
The MAC, right now, Quinnipiac would be the one seed. So you would see how that works out.
Terrible MAC this year.
It's a very bad MAC. The MEAC, equally bad. Norfolk State, though, it would be the favorite right now. But one bid league, Missouri Valley, and I'm not saying this because I thought they would get it, but it does take away a potential bid stealer that Drake wins it, because Drake would have been considered by a few teams. They would have been 29-4. Not trying to say they would have gotten it, just saying that they would have had people nervous. But one bid league, Mountain West. Is Boise State, San Diego State a lose or leave town match tonight?
Yeah.
So Boise beat San Diego State. San Diego State's out. Gino.
I don't have either one in right now.
All right.
Okay.
I currently have five teams from the Mountain West getting in.
Okay, that's the difference. I have three. Yep.
I have all of them getting in. I have New Mexico, Utah State, San Diego State, Boise State, Colorado State. I have them all in.
Who's your fifth one?
Colorado State.
I have them in. I've got the other two out right now.
So I have.
Wait. So you have them in over San Diego State and Boise State?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have Boise State in over Colorado State as my four, but if Boise loses tonight, they're out. And Colorado State could jump them, but I think Colorado State has to win two games. I think they have to win the first and they have to win the 2-3 matchup.
Yeah, I hate to bring it down to one game, but I think Colorado State beating Boise, to me, put them ahead of Boise.
So,
and I know there's very much of a recency bias there, but that's.
But they've been recently good.
They've been very good. They've won, what, seven in a row now?
Yep, seven in a row. Okay, so Gino, you have five. I have four. Kev has three. The Northeast, congratulations to the Red Flash of St. Francis, PA. Haven't seen him in the tournament since the great Mike Isolino led this team in 1991. Made a cup of coffee in the NBA with the Mavericks for a couple of years as well.
What was their record?
They were under 500.
Yes, they were.
What did they end up? 16-17, something like that.
I hadn't written down. I don't know where I went.
I don't have it in front of me, but they were a game or two under 500 when it's all said and done, and that's what winning this tournament. And they were the three seed.
16-17,
and they were the three seed with that record. The OVC, the pride of. SIU Edwardsville blowing out SEMO State. SEMO couldn't do a thing.
Their first tournament appearance.
Yep. Absolutely. P Patriot, American, gets the bid. They beat Navy tonight. About 2 minutes into the game, Navy guard, one of their star players, punches the other kid in the groin, gets the flagrant two. You don't expect that from a Service Academy player. I'm blanking on his name. But you can't do that in the first 3 minutes of a basketball game for the title. You don't expect that from the Service Academy.
Yep.
And that set the tone up. Flagrant two, ejection, two shots, ball, the whole thing. And here we go, Kev. Actually, I'll save it for last.
Sure.
Southern Conference. Wofford, the six, gets through in a really exciting game. Kev, Gino had the over, and it was, he had it over with 8 minutes to go.
That type of over.
That was some really good teams playing each other.
And I'll tell you, I looked at the overs of that game, the two games they had played during the season against each other, and they were both in the 160s, and the over was 137.5. I was like flipping out. I couldn't get
you couldn't get the money down fast enough.
I couldn't get it in fast enough. You have no idea. And Kev, I am not a guy who bets many overs, that's for sure. But yeah, this one just jumped out at me. I was like, whoa. So
you were all over it. The Southland, congrats to McNeese. The Cowboys advance. They play a sloppy defensive style game, and they do it well. The SWAC, the one seed, gets knocked out in the quarterfinals. So Southern, who is the heavy favorite, loses to Grambling. And if you've ever watched college football, that's a real big rivalry. So these two schools don't like each other in Louisiana. But that is now Jackson State would be the favorite for the SWAC. The Summit, Omaha, had a clinch before the game was played. But the Mavericks played them out anyway and still won by 10. They don't defend very well, but damn it, they could score.
Omaha.
Kind of a fun team to watch.
First tournament appearance also. Peyton Manning excited.
So the Sun Belt, the three beat the four, but the interesting thing about it was a four-way tie. So all the teams were 11-5 in conference. But Troy, the Trojans get in. It was a really competitive game. They had a huge run late to put away Arkansas State. Ended up winning by 11, but the game was not that distant. The WAC, Utah Valley's the one seed. It's a one-bid league. The West Coast Conference, Gonzaga gets revenge on St. Mary's, beats them in the title game. Very good defensive game. St. Mary's controlled the tempo of the game. Neither team really could shoot very well. And Gonzaga wins this one by 7. So two-bid league, guys, for both of us?
Yep.
For all of us, I should say?
Well, the championship game, Gonzaga went 1-for-15 from three and was the good shooting team.
Yeah.
Because St. Mary's decided to go 0-for-16, 1-for-31 combined.
They were horrible.
It was a sloppy game. And the defense was good, don't get me wrong, but they were missing open shots too.
That is 3%. That's worse than any championship game in history.
Wow.
So now let's go to the big dog, the SEC. Kevin has 16 teams in. Gino. Okay. Auburn, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Kentucky, Missouri, Ole Miss, Mississippi State off the win tonight, I think just solidified it, even if there was any doubt.
That's
Georgia,
nine.
Vandy, Arkansas, wait, Oklahoma, there's 14 teams. How many do you have?
Nine? Well, I think you got nine definites.
Okay.
Okay, I don't think there's any question about the nine.
So it's Georgia, Vandy, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas. These are the last five.
Agreed. I have Vandy in despite the loss today, okay?
4-8 in their last 12, but they have some good wins.
I know. I have them in despite the loss. However, it's becoming very, very difficult to start differentiating these teams between Georgia, Arkansas, Texas, and Oklahoma, who I basically said is out last week, is hanging around.
Yeah, they're up 4 right now on Georgia.
I know. They're hanging around again. So I don't know how to differentiate. I have 12.
Who's out?
At the moment, I have Texas and Oklahoma out.
Kevin?
I did whittle it down from 16. I've got 15. No. I've got 13. The 12, I think we all agreed on. I flip-flopped it at 13 last week. This week I had 13. I flip-flopped Oklahoma, Texas based on the result over the weekend. Texas with a big win today over Vandy. You know, Oklahoma win today, I think, would hate to say guarantee, because now we're, you know, it is the 13th team out of a conference. I'm pretty confident on the 13, though.
I also have 13. I have Oklahoma and still ahead of Texas. I think Texas has to win one more. But if Oklahoma loses tonight, anybody's bowl game. Any chance for Georgia to get knocked out with the loss tonight?
I think they did enough to make it.
Any chance of Vandy being knocked out off the bad loss today?
Between the loss today and 4-8 in the last 12, I think they're going to get their name called, but I wouldn't be surprised if they sink down to the first four games now.
Gotcha. Okay. I have the 13. I have the same 13 as you guys. So we're pretty similar. We have a few different teams, but there's still a lot of basketball to be played.
So what is the team from the SEC that you do not have in?
Texas.
Okay.
Because
I don't have them in either, but I only have 12 at the moment. So.
And again, it goes back to too many losses.
Okay.
14 right now. At some point, assuming they don't win the tournament, will be their 15th loss. No, so they really need. No, they're 18-14 now. I think they need at least two more wins. 15 loss team, you have to have at least 20 wins to have any consideration in my book.
Georgia, and
I still think 15 is too many losses. Don't get me wrong.
Georgia beats Oklahoma tonight. Do you change that?
No.
Does that knock Oklahoma out for you?
It puts them not on the brink for me.
But no, it depends on, the one tournament that I can see changing my mind would be the Mountain West. Like I said, I've only got three in right now. Very easily can make a case for a fourth team there.
I agree. I'm listening. I can tell you who I have. I only have 12. And I think
you have the five Mountain West, so you've got to make up somewhere that we don't have five. Darren's got four. I have three.
Correct. And I think if Georgia beats Oklahoma, that almost, for me, solidifies the fact that I don't think Oklahoma should be in at all. So now at that point, then I'd be down to either 12 or 13 with Texas, the one right on the bubble. So, I think we're all kind of right on the same, we're right there. The problem is that the records, everything is so close.
It is.
It's so close.
I think we're all pretty close in agreement. I have 10 for six spots, basically.
I mean, listen, the first team's out. I mean, I had Ohio State much closer until tonight.
Yep.
Like a week ago, I still had Nebraska on the bubble. Then they don't even make the tournament. They don't even make the Big Ten tournament. If you can't finish in the top 15, I can't put you in, right? I can't even consider you.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 5. I throw Xavier, Texas. So I have seven. I have five in of seven, I think. I think my first two out right now is the 13th SEC, and Xavier to me is probably my first two out at the moment.
My first four out would be Ohio State, San Diego State, Boise State, and Texas.
And my first four out are Boise State, which is Colorado State, I should say. Is the first one out. I have Texas as one of my teams out. I'm blanking on where that other team was. I apologize. Oh, West Virginia being the third one out. And I have Wake as the fourth team out. And only because there's nobody else. It's not like there's a lot of – nobody's winning.
No, that's it.
All these teams are losing. I mean, Oklahoma up four on Georgia right now. I mean, we'll see what happens there. I mean, but it's a very – it's a weak bubble this year because the teams are not fighting their way in very well, in my opinion.
Kev, I had Ohio State right there, but they lost to Iowa by seven today.
Yep.
I now knocked them completely off my bubble, so I don't even have them on the bubble. The only other thing, and we mentioned that could happen is if Wake beats North Carolina, maybe goes on. Wins another game. Maybe I give them the fourth ACC bid over North Carolina. But I agree with the two of you. I think we're looking at the Mountain West teams. We're looking at the SEC teams, and maybe one or two if there's a bid stealer. You know, I think that's kind of where we are. You know, if it's North Carolina in or not, I think that's where we are.
I think the bid stealers are alive because the bubble is so weak.
Yeah.
So I think VCU's alive because I think Memphis is in regardless. They have six quad one. I mean, yeah, they're fine. VCU doesn't have a lot of quad ones, but I think that this bubble is so weak that you can make stories against any one of these teams. Also, historically, just remember this. The ACC performs best in this tournament. The ACC teams have a tendency to advance best. SEC is usually the weakest of the power ones, and the Mountain West sucks. It's horrible. Every year. They always get the bids, and they never do anything with it, except for the one year San Diego. Well, San Diego State sometimes makes runs. Everybody else sucks. New Mexico never wins. Boise State never wins. Utah State never wins. I mean, you know, this is like this is not a conference that shows a lot. So it's going to be interesting how this works out. But, yeah, we have a lot going on. Tomorrow, the four big games to me right now on paper, North Carolina Wake, Indiana Oregon, Marquette Xavier, Boise State, San Diego State. Those four stand out to me as four really, really big bubble games right now.
Those are big ones.
I mean, Marquette and Oregon are in, so I'm not saying that they have any threat of getting knocked out, but the other six teams are all fighting for their lives. And I have Wake the furthest away, but at the same time, a win over North Carolina, sweeping them in two, a neutral court and a home win, and you know, could have them leapfrog maybe get the fourth. So we'll see.
Get them very close, I'll tell you that much.
So we're going to do a whole show on this on Sunday night. We hope to have it out to you guys Sunday night.
Yep.
But at the same time, we're going to have our homework done. We're going to have the matchups analyzed. We're going to be ready to go. But before we get into that, Kev, why don't you tell us a little about the women?
Sure. So the women are pretty much the opposite of the men. All their big tournaments are done now. Now it's all the smaller mid-major type conferences. So the ACC, Duke upsets Notre Dame in the semis and then goes on and wins the ACC tournament. They've got the automatic bid. That's Notre Dame
kind of limped home, right, Kev? Didn't they limp home a bit?
Third loss in the last five games. I mean, they're down to that. They're down to five, and the rankings are down to about eight. So they limped home. UConn, just their usual dominance in the Big East. They ran away with it. They were undefeated in the conference play. They beat Creighton 70-50. So they won easily. Wow. UCLA gets their measure of revenge after losing twice to USC recently. They beat them 72-67 in the final game and taking their rightful place at the top as the queens of the SEC. The South Carolina Gamecocks beat Texas 64-45.
So just so everybody understands, if South Carolina wasn't good at women's basketball, Kevin would have no interest in this sport.
No doubt about it. So you're looking at the one seeds, you know, South Carolina, Texas, I think, was the number one ranked team in the country. I think they're still going to get a one seed. UCLA will get it. Now it's going to come down to basically USC or UConn. And UConn right now, if you look at the women's net, UConn's one. South Carolina's two. UConn beat South Carolina head-to-head. But if you're going strictly by the computer, UConn 6-3 in quad one. South Carolina 16-3 in quad one. So Gino, that goes to your point about the net that you ran to about 2 or 3 weeks ago. How is 1-6-3, 1-16-3, and you make one of them one and one of them two?
Wow.
Conference. It's just a better conference.
What?
Top to bottom, the SEC is more dominant. That's just what it comes down to.
Yep. So that's my quick look at the women's. Any other comments? Okay.
On anything or women?
Women?
No, I have nothing else. Yeah, okay. I have two other points, but that's it.
Other points on sports.
Tiger Woods.
Oh.
Sad day for golf fans. Tears the Achilles. Listen, we love Tiger. Everybody loves Tiger. I think that's our generation anyway. Unfortunate. You don't know if you'll ever see him play golf again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very severe injury, and it's a lot of rehab, and we'll see if Tiger, at his age, wants to fight through it. I mean, we're going to find out. He's already battled so many things. When's he going to say uncle? We don't know when the next injury is that's going to say uncle.
Did he meet up with Carl Spackler on the course somewhere?
You just cut the
you just cut the
hamstring, and you know, and he'll never swing again. Everything pushed everything to the right. Oh, gosh. And my other point was, number one, we forgot to mention it last week, but I did use a scene from him to start our show. Gene Hackman did pass away last week, and we had used Hoosiers now 2 weeks in a row. I didn't want to do a back-to-back, but I felt like we owed it to Gene because it was a basketball movie, and it was, you know, a very, very exciting basketball movie. Plus, he was the great Jimmy McGinty in The Replacements. So, I mean, a lot, he had done some football as well. who cares about Popeye Doyle and The Unforgiven and everything else? Let's just go right to Jimmy McGinty. And the last point I have, Junior Bridgman, former Milwaukee Buck player, passed away, had a heart attack at an event. I mean, so he was out there meeting with people. He had a heart attack and did not survive. I mean, it wasn't a superstar, but he was a very good player that we all remember growing up. So those are my last points. Anything else from you guys?
Nope,
that's it.
Looking forward to the big weekend here with all the tournaments.
Absolutely, Kev. Well said. The madness is ready to begin. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Gino, here with Kevin, talking about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports. A wacky world where a team can make $411 million on ticket sales and not have a plan for a backup starting pitcher. Please follow the podcast anywhere you get a podcast. Download us, you know, Spotify, TuneIn, you know, Audio Boom, whatever it is. Also, you know, again, like Gino said earlier, we're on social a lot. We post a lot of clips. Like them, share them. Tell us what you want to hear more about. We post a lot of things. We're going to be doing some Facebook Lives next week while we're betting on games down there. We got a lot of fun stuff going on. Big show on Sunday. Can't wait to get it out to you guys. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.